We're also joined by Scott McKay, political analyst for the Publix Radio. Hi there, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Ross Chey, the Ethics Commission dealt with a lot of high-profile cases during your time on that panel, including governors, top legislators, and a state Supreme Court justice. Did anyone ever contact you in an attempt to influence you on any of those cases?
I'm so glad you asked me that, because the answer is absolutely no. And I was chair for 8 years. I was also on 7 years before that. So I've been on for 15 years, and never did anyone approach me or anyone else that, as far as I know, to in any way try to influence a decision. It truly is an independent body.
Nonetheless, there is a perception that Rhode Island punches above its weight in terms of having ethical problems and corruption. Do you think that perception is justified?
I think that's a perpetual question, and I do feel like there's reasons to think that small states have more issues about close connections, the 2-degree of separation problem. And it may also be that in small states, journalists are more effective in ferreting things out. So and there are plenty of examples of states like Illinois that have quite the history of corruption. So I'm hesitant to make comparisons. I think our state faces issues that all states face.
Sure. Pennsylvania, also a large state. Let's go to Scott.
You know, you were on the commission for 15 years. What was that one or two cases that kept you awake at night that really were very difficult as you look back on your tenure?
Gee, I don't know. Most of the cases that come to the commission settle before adjudication. And most of what we do is give advice. And there's very rarely a highly contested case. So I guess I'd say I never really did lose sleep over the things we were doing.
The Ethics Commission's so-called class exception allows elected officials to vote on something if they're part of a group of people who would all be affected the same way. For example, teachers might vote against a proposed pension cut, something like that. Right. To the public, that might look like a free pass. Do you see any need to tighten up the class exception?
Yeah, I think that's also a longstanding question in this state. There was a point when Common Cause was pushing for that, but they didn't really have a clear proposal for how to make it tighter. And the other thing to keep in mind is every time a legislator recuses, disenfranchisement occurs. The people that they represent do not have a voice. And in a lot of these cases, the idea is that person's profession is not only known, they were elected because they're in that profession. They ran as a teacher. Everyone knows they're a teacher. And now suddenly it's terrible that they're voting on teacher issues. That doesn't make sense.
I'm wondering, you know, all the years you were on the commission, you probably have a better view of it than most. And I'm wondering, what would you do? One or two things that you would do if you were a philosopher king that would make the commission better? Some change in rules that have you've thought about over the years?
Well, but in one way, the more I've thought about this, the more I really think in terms of the high road and the low road. And commissions regulate the low road. Commissions regulate bad behavior. But when we talk about ethics, probably what we really care about is also the high road. Like, we don't want people to do bad things, but we want people with integrity, for example. Well, the commission could never adopt a rule that says you must have integrity and we will, you know, fine you if you don't. So some of the things we care about the most in ethics can never be regulated. They're aspirational, and we have to hope that we have examples and that voters care about these issues, but they're not subject to regulation. They're some of the things that matter the most.
It was a few years ago when the legislature backed an effort to strengthen the commission's oversight over elected officials. Yes. This was during a moment when the legislature took a black eye, so it was kind of a felicitous moment. What difference has that made in your view that the commission can now have stronger oversight over elected officials as it once did before?
Well, I think it to anyone in the public who pays attention to this, it makes a huge difference that there isn't a legislative carve-out. I think people clearly, when they voted for the commission originally and then when they voted again, wanted a commission that would cover all elected officials, not most, and certainly not one that would leave out maybe the most important elected officials in the state. That said, it's not that I think there's some rampant problem in the legislature, and there haven't been complaints forthcoming about legislators. But I think it's terribly important to confidence in government that the conflict of interest laws apply to our elected officials.
We're talking here with Brown University Professor Ross Chait, and now back to Scott.
You seem to be saying the commission really can't do anything about voter apathy and inertia.
I think that's probably true.
Well, any other rule that you would look at that would give the public more confidence in their elected officials and the appointed officials, who also, as we all know, town managers, those kind of folks, do come under the auspices of the State Ethics Commission.
Right. Well, during my tenure, we extended things that only applied to state officials to local. We made the gift limit much, much lower. We made the system more transparent. We required disclosure of travel paid for by third parties. We've done a lot of things that I think really do make the commission a better outfit.
Professor Chait, you, I believe, co-wrote the RISDIC report about the credit union crisis of the late 80s. Long ago, it revealed a web of conflicts of interest among lawmakers and other folks. Do you believe that Rhode Island has learned the lessons that it needed to from that crisis?
I think that one of the things we pointed out in that report was that there was a lack of professionalization at the legislature. So that when a RISDIC issue came up, they asked Bob Bianchini, what should we do, rather than asking someone who didn't have an interest. I don't know how much better they are now. I think they're a little better, but I think that this is an area that would make a big improvement in state government, is to have more ability, like states California or New York, have offices of the legislative analyst who give nonpartisan analysis of bills. And the more that you could bring in, if we'd had that for RISDIC, the legislature might not have made the mistakes that they did.
And yet, is there really a more corrupt legislature than the one that sits in Albany?
Possibly not. That's right. Possibly not.
Finally, one of your subspecialties is the politics of food, and you're looking at seafood and the intersection of seafood and politics. Tell us about that.
Well, one of the things I'm looking at is sort of the political interest groups that mobilize around these issues. And in one way, the commercial fishing industry, for what government does for it, is incredibly powerful. It's a very small number of people that the government pays a lot of attention to. I'm not saying they shouldn't pay any, but it may be that that's a kind of special interest that's getting more things from government than it should. They're very powerful.
How does that affect consumers?
I guess what the main effect would be, if the apparatus causes overfishing, then there are things that aren't going to be available to consumers. So, I think the overfishing of cod was caused by a political mechanism that was unwilling to say no to commercial fishermen.
All right. That's all the time we have. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
From Fish to Fraud, thank you, Professor Chait.
And Brown University Professor Ross Chait, the former chairman of the Rhode Island Ethics Commission.
Thanks so much for having me.